Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started in a passage of Scripture in John, Gospel of John, chapter 6. And this is the story of Jesus, you know, feeding the thousands. It says, then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may even have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those who were sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. Wow. So here we see a situation where, you know, thousands and thousands of people, and of course, Philip asks the obvious question, how are we going to feed all these people? And when, you know, Jesus said, you know, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth is not enough sufficient, that every one of them may even have a little. And so Jesus knew what he was going to do. And Jesus, it says here, he was testing Philip, but it was a situation where in his heart, he knew that there was something special that was going to happen. And I love what happens here, though, in the way it happens. Jesus did a lot of miracles in a lot of ways, some really dramatic ones, rub mud in a man's eyes, and, you know, he'd go seeing and just do supernatural things. One time there was a person who was sick, and he said, "You just go," you know. He said, "You just speak the word." He said, "All right, it's done." He didn't even have to go there. It was just supernatural that way. But here we see a miracle manifested in another way. Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." And he said, so Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. So he just had that little bit that he had, but he stopped and he took what he had and he gave thanks. You know, Philip is looking at what they didn't have. Jesus looked at what they did have. He took it, and he lifted it up to the Father, and he gave thanks, and he blessed it. This is an amazing miracle to me because, you know, a lot of miracles happen, hear a lot of stories and testimonies, but I can testify to this kind of a miracle. This is a miracle I've experienced in my life where I've taken some time and just have given thanks to God and experienced that spirit of a sound mind, experienced the peace that passes my understanding, experienced fellowship with God in a simple looking at what you do have, appreciating what you do have and giving thanks. There's something about that. You know, in our day and age, we kind of classify people and maybe personality types. You look at somebody, depending on their attitude, whether they're kind of critical or whether they're optimistic, and you'd say, well, you know, you're a glasses half full kind of a guy or a glasses half empty kind of a guy. Well, you look at this situation where you got a few small fish and some bread and 5,000 people. You could say Jesus was a glass 1,000th full kind of a guy. You don't have much, but it's full in his heart and his mind. He's looking at what he did have, and he had a thankful heart. This is a great, one of all the ways that Jesus is an example to us, this is one of the great ways that we look at his life and see a model of thankfulness. Just say, yeah, I'm just thankful for what I do have. Giving God thanks and praise for what you do have, it is such a powerful place. This is what the scripture admonishes us as believers to do. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amplified, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. You know, so many times, and we've kind of talked about it before, discerning the will of God and following after the Spirit, we can come to some situations where we don't always know what to do next. And what is the will of God? Well, this is something that's always the will of God for all of us. This is the will of God, giving thanks in everything in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, of course, we've got Thanksgiving coming up, and I just really felt impressed in my heart to really to look into the Word of God about a thankful heart and the importance of a thankful heart. And so we're just going to minister along those lines this morning, simply a thankful heart. And the amazing thing about a thankful heart is it prepares your heart in so many different ways. I mean, simply stopping and giving thanks, it's like you're doing a whole bunch of really good things at once. You're doing the Word in so many ways. And we'll look at some of those ways this morning, a couple ways that you're just automatically doing the Word when you just stop and give thanks, when you just stop and are intentional about saying thank you to God for the things that He's done in your life, the things that He's going to do. And, you know, sometimes I like to put it this way, or you might hear that phrase, you know, you're gonna kill a few birds with one stone, all right? Or we'll say that when we're talking about going to Sturgeon Bay. We're going to do a few things at once. We're going to go to Green Bay. You know, we're going to get a whole bunch of things done. We don't take that trip very often, so we're going to get as much done as we can. Well, when you have just a thankful heart, you're doing a whole bunch of things at once. And sometimes we don't always understand that or see it or appreciate it. And so this morning I want to look at simply a thankful heart and how a thankful heart prepares our heart in many ways. We're just going to, again, look at a couple of them this morning. But first off, as far as a thankful heart, it creates a humble heart. It creates a humility. We know God gives grace to the humble, but there is something about stopping and giving thanks that will humble your heart in a powerful way. Romans puts it this way. It says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Thankfulness is such a pivot. You know, when you are thankful, man, and glorify God, it's powerful. But when you're not thankful, you're going to go in another direction, vain imaginations. You're either going to give glory to God or you're going to give glory to self. You're living from one of those two vantage points. That's how Satan fell. Satan didn't start out as Satan. He started out as a, you know, the anointed cherub, the worship leader. But at some point he said, "I'm going to be like the Most High God. I'm going to exalt my throne. I'm," all of a sudden, he went from a position of giving thanks to the Father to wanting that thanks, to wanting that appreciation, to want to be glorified. A thankful heart is such a, it's such a, almost like a gauge on your car. If a red light comes on, you give attention to that. And that's a gauge that we have to check in our heart. Am I being thankful? Do I have a thankful attitude? Because when we're thankful, again, we're giving glory to God. Sometimes we'll say, you know, what do you do when, you know, bad things happen to good people? What do good people do? What do you do when good things happen to good people? What do good people do when good things happen to them? What's their response? There's a praise to God. There's almost an instinctive thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You know? So as we're looking at thankfulness, we got to understand that, you know, there is kind of a situation where, you know, we've got to make that decision. You know, we think, oh, we're just all humble and we just all love God and we just all worship God and we give. Well, we're human. And you know what? We can fall into the trap. We can fall into that same trap. And a lot of times we can be frustrated in things. And a lot of times it's just a matter of getting thankful again and being appreciative for what you do have. You know, vain imaginations can be fun. You're the star in your vain imagination. You can do no wrong. Satan enjoyed his vain imaginations. And all of a sudden, it's not about giving glory to God. It's about being appreciated and being loved and being adored and being, you know, all the being the center. Have you ever had the Lord interrupt a vain imagination before? Wow, Ed, you're amazing. Now, I have a relationship with the Lord that's, I laugh out loud when he does that, because like, yes, okay, all right, thank you. Because your mind can go down a track, and it's like, nope, that's wrong. I'm just saying, this isn't just about the other guy. This is something we all have to keep in our, keep our heart in the right place and keep it right, because it can pull you down a track where their foolish heart is darkened, you know, and that can, it can lead to some dark places. It might be enjoyable for a moment, but the trajectory is darkness. And sometimes you got to back up and stop. Why am I in this dark place? I'm going to have a thankful heart. I want to give glory to God. I want to keep my heart right, you know. It's like the Lord, Psalm, one of those Psalm 136, I think, says the Lord knows the proud from afar off. I don't want him going, is that Ed over there? God, he looks like him. No, I want to keep that sweet, tender heart and just say, okay, Lord, because there's seasons, right? You can have it where you're strong in the Lord, but something can happen, you can get off, and it's like, no, I got to keep my heart in that place. Got to keep my heart in that humble place, that humble dependency upon God. Here's a great scripture kind of along those lines. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. When I think of the scripture, sometimes I think of, you know, this time of the year is football. Somebody who does something great in football and they're the center of attention and they just start up and say, I just want to thank Jesus, my Lord and Savior, for giving me the grace, or something to that effect, where they will give glory to God. Do you know what? That makes my heart glad. When somebody makes their boast in the Lord, I don't roll my eyes. I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that they are making their boast. Now, obviously, people could do it with the wrong spirit, wrong attitude, but most of the time, people are not. People are sincere, and they're saying, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to give thank you. And say, don't you realize, I don't care about the politics. I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. You know, when somebody makes their boast in the Lord, when the humble hear it, it makes them glad. It's like, yes, that's my Jesus. That's my Lord. Praise God. Yes, Jesus is the rock of offense. We all know that. But when somebody from the sincerity of their heart makes their boast in the Lord and says, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the grace and the strength to do it. That blesses my heart. And there's a witness there, too. There's a witness there, too, that people, you know, a lot of times when a person is saved, there's a lot of little things that'll happen along the way, and all of a sudden it'll click and they'll get it. And all of a sudden they'll see that person and that person. And all of a sudden the common denominator is, oh, they love Jesus, they love Jesus, they love Jesus. And the Holy Spirit can use that testimony to draw people to him. But I'm telling you what do good people do when good things happen to them? They make their boast in the Lord. They say, thank you, Jesus. And when the humble hear it, they're glad with him. They say, yes, I get it. I understand. Man, apart from him, you can do nothing. You know, it is all about Jesus. Here's a great story about a good thing happening to a good person, okay? Now, Mary, we're getting ready for Christmas. Of course, she was visited by the angel Gabriel, and she was told the amazing things that were going to happen to her as far as, you know, being to give birth to the Savior. And then she went on a trip to visit Elizabeth, who she heard through Gabriel, too, is also going to be with child. And so as she went to visit Elizabeth, she came to the house, and Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy. And he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to all who fear him. This is such a beautiful story. And again, what do good things do? What do good people do when good things happen to them? They make their boast in the Lord. They glorify God. And there's just something that blesses me about this story. Now, when you think of Mary, and you think of, sometimes it'll just like, why did God choose Mary? Well, we can see a few things here about Mary. You know, quite a story, first of all. I mean, you got a girl who's a 15, 16-year-old girl, and she's about to become the center of attention of the whole universe, as she is going to give birth to God in the earth. This is a one-off. This is a one-time epic event. Never happened before, will never happen again. The most amazing thing. Now, you talk about something that could, you know, cause somebody to be lifted up with pride or sense of self-importance or self-significance. And what does Mary do? She rejoices in God, her Savior. We see something about Mary. Two things, really. She believed God, and she gave thanks, and she worshiped God. Now, there was another guy who the angel visited before he visited Mary, Zechariah. And when Zechariah got the news that him and his wife Elizabeth were going to be with child, we're going to have a child, he just didn't believe. He ran the math. They were too old. And so he rejected. And he didn't believe. He didn't say, be it unto me. He didn't say that. He rejected it completely, totally. And as a result, he wasn't able to speak. He was mute until their son, who was born, John the Baptist, was born of Zechariah and Elizabeth. The amazing thing happened. Now, and because he didn't believe, that was a result. He just wasn't able to speak. Mary, on the other hand, she believed. She said, be it unto me according to your word. And Elizabeth just called it out. You're blessed because you chose to believe that the Lord would do what he said. She had a choice in this matter, and she chose to believe that. Now, you might think, yeah, that's great. Praise God. You think, that's amazing how Mary chose to believe that. She rejoiced in God, her Savior. That's the choice that all of us have right now, too, where Mary was. Do you know that when you called upon the name of the Lord, you were born again? As many as called upon him, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away, all have become new. There's a decision here. There's a decision Mary, there was a decision Zechariah had to make about his good news. Tilt, forget it. There was a decision Mary made about her good news. She believed it, and she rejoiced. Man, a big part, too, of our own Christian walk with the Lord, the promises, his goodness to us. What do we do with that? Did you know that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus? I've had it where my tilt, forget it, you know, go on. That's a kind of a nice thought. But I'll tell you, when you believe it, when you believe, like Mary believed the angel, the word, and we actually have a more sure word than the word of an angel, the word of God. And the word of God says, it is written, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. I remember the day that I saw it and I believed it. And there was a gratitude and a joy, just like Mary. It's like, I'm a new creation. He who is mighty has done a mighty thing in me. He's changed me. I went from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Praise God. I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places that are in Christ Jesus. You can hear these truths of what God has done and be like a Zechariah and say, yeah, no, that doesn't make sense, or I can't feel that, or I can't see that, or we can be a Mary. We can say, wow, really? Okay, I'm a new creation. Okay, I'm cleansed, I'm forgiven. Okay, I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. He who is mighty has done mighty things in me. He's done mighty things for me. There's almost like a counting our blessings of those things that in our head seem too good to be true, but they're true. And when we stop and say, thank you, Lord, I am a new creation. You've done it, and I see it. And I believe it, and I rejoice. I rejoice in God, my Savior. That's a decision that we come to. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I love this. This is what we're called to do. We're talking about a thankful heart this morning. A thankful heart is a humble heart. Mary was a great example, too, of a humble heart. You know, what do good people do when good things happen to them? They rejoice in God. They give thanks to the Lord. They worship him. And that's what we're called to do, to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's when somebody says, I just give thanks and praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What are they doing? They're proclaiming the praises of him who called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's a witness of that. And that's the same testimony that we have too. It's not that we did anything great or that there's something that is in the natural noticeable. It's what God did in us. It's recognize and say, this is real. This is real. What God did in me is real. I really am a child of God. I really have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. And so there is that decision, praise God, to just come in, to come into the presence of God. And these are the things that just don't change. No matter who does what or what the circumstances of life are, these things are true. And I just love, again, Mary's heart where she kind of said, he shows mercy from generation to all who fear him. And that's where it comes down to us too. The blessings that come to us through what God has called in us. He's called us to proclaim those praises as he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So there is a humble heart, and there's a joyful heart that we experience as well, too. Peter put it this way. He said, in this you greatly rejoice, that now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. There is a rejoicing with joy unspeakable, inexpressible, and full of glory. There is, and now this kind of talks about the other side of things. We kind of talked about what happens when good things happen to good people. They make their boast in the Lord. But we look at the other side of the coin, too, as it relates to a thankful heart. A lot of times what they were dealing with here in the church age, in the early church age, is persecution. We have persecution today, too, for sure. But there were some severe persecution where people are getting thrown into the Roman games, where they'd be given to the lions to as part of their games, part of their entertainment, and just all kind of horrific things, and just various forms of persecution. And this is where Peter is saying, man, he said, the genuineness of your faith, it's more precious than gold that perishes. Even though bad things are happening, there is a joy that's inexpressible and full of glory. There's still a grateful and a thankful heart that can keep us in the right place and keep our heart in the right place. Of course, we got the great example of the Apostle Paul. This is when he's preaching on his second missionary journey. He got a little girl, a young lady, delivered from an evil spirit, but that evil spirit was used to make her master's money, so they got mad at Paul for getting her delivered. So it says a great crowd gathered and all the people joined in to come against them. The Roman officials ordered that Paul and Silas be stripped of their garments and beaten with rods on their bare backs. After they were severely beaten, they were thrown into the prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them securely. So the jailer placed them in the innermost cell of the prison and had their feet bound and chained. Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs of praise to God while all the other prisoners listened to their worship. Here again, what do good people do when bad things happen to good people? They rejoice in the Lord. They look to him. They were worshiping God. This is such a powerful truth, because you know it's not something that we would naturally, you know, think about doing or think that would just come to us in a natural way. But this is where, like in worship, we were talking about this morning, that there's a decision that we've got to make to set our mind on things above. It's absolutely a decision. But this is part of a thankful heart. A thankful heart is a decision. It's a decision in the middle of chaos and persecution and different things that are going on, bad things happening, that I'm going to thank God. You know, sometimes you can be stirred up over something that somebody did. I've had that happen, and the Lord has kind of interrupted my thought and said, Ed, have I done anything? No, Lord, you haven't done anything. I'm not mad at you. You know, this thing or this situation happened, but I love you. You're still true. You're still for me. And this is the great passage of Scripture that we kind of really come to. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds in the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds in the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, when you come to this inflection point, whether it's, you know, Paul and Silas in a prison cell, you know, going through some stuff, or you're going through persecutions and things like that, then all of a sudden you're just going to choose to give thanks to God. You're going to just choose to worship God. From a natural standpoint, you know, the world could look at that and see you doing that, and they could think, you know, denial. You're just in denial of a bad situation. You know, it's not okay to just put a little Thanksgiving Band-Aid on something that's really bad. That's not okay. You've got to really figure it out. You got to problem solve it. You can't just give thanks. We kind of talked about this last week a little bit too, just as far as confronting yourself. A lot of times when something is bothering us, we feel like I got to problem solve the thing that's confronting me. No, you don't. You don't have to get victory over that thing that you're having a problem. You have to center up on Jesus again. You got to get Jesus centered again. Because we fool ourselves. I got to get victory over this thing, and then I have this sweet fellowship with Jesus. No. You got to come boldly before the throne of grace, obtain mercy and grace to help in your time of need, get forgiveness, get strength, walk with Jesus again so that you can not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a first things first. And a lot of times, that's the way this is too. I'm persecuted. I got to resolve this. The first thing that I got to do, what did Paul and Silas do? They just worshiped God in the middle. They had their feet, you know, in the inner had their innermost cell of the prison, had their feet bound and chained. What's the next step? Worshiping God, singing songs of praise. That's the next thing. That was the will of God in Christ Jesus for them. They knew that. I love this because Thanksgiving is so simple. It's always the will of God in Christ Jesus for me. And Thanksgiving is one of those things that helps me get Jesus centered again. Because if you're going to be worshiping and giving thanks, praise God, you've got to get your focus, you've got to get your eyes back on Jesus again. It causes you to get Jesus centered. And again, you look at something like this, where the world could say, denial. Let me tell you this. You are always in denial. There is never a time you are not in denial. When you walk in the Spirit, you're denying your flesh. When you yield to the flesh, you're denying the Spirit. You're always in denial. You just got to decide which one you want to be in denial to, which one you want to yield to. And when it comes to these situations that would want to cause you to be bitter and angry and hateful, to choose to set your mind on things above. I'm going to deny the flesh. I'm going to deny the hatred. I'm going to deny the anger, and I'm going to be thankful. There is something, it just softens your heart when you have a thankful heart. You know, Jesus told that story of the parable of the unforgiving servant. I mean, a king that, you know, he owed this king like millions of dollars, and the king just forgave him flat out. He said, you're forgiven. It's like, wow, really? Okay, I'm not going to jail and my family and all that. And then that same guy went on the street and was strangling a guy that owed him like 20 bucks. Why would he do that? He forgot. He forgot the amazing grace and mercy that the king showed him. And that's when we get into these situations where we can find ourselves strangling somebody over their $20 thing in light of what God has forgiven us. And what does thankfulness do? In the case of the unforgiving servant, what he needed to do is he needed to spend more time in front of that king who forgave him that debt. He needed to spend his time remembering what the king had done. That would get his hands from around the neck of the guy who he was strangling and lift him in praise to God and say, thank you, Father. That's what thanksgiving does. It releases that stranglehold, and it uses our hands for something different, to worship God, to give God thanks. And that's a decision that we have to make. You know, when back in the early days of the internet, most of you guys can remember that, back in the early days of the internet, we had all these pop-up boxes, and you'd get pop-up blockers. Now we still have pop-up things, and we still have things that we got to wade through. But it was a really big thing early internet. It was just like you'd buy pop-up blockers to stop this thing. And so many times, that's the way the enemy is. You could be going down the road. You could be going down, just going about your day, and all of a sudden, a pop-up box will pop up. Remember what happened 10 years ago? Pop-up box that happened. What do they mean by that? Pop-up box, just little things that'll distract. And you got a choice. You could set your mind on that pop-up box and click on it and go into that world, or you can just simply click the little X and close the pop-up box and keep doing what you were doing. When you have a thankful heart, you're making those choices throughout the day. There are thoughts that are pop-up boxes that you got to choose. Am I going to go into that world, or am I going to close it and set my mind on things above? Am I going to close it? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And that's what a thankful heart does. It gets us focused back on God. In other words, it's like, and I'll just speak of me. It's almost like this barometer that's going, you know, victim complex or thankful heart, you know? And it's like, those thoughts that'll pop up, it's like, nope, I'm going to close those boxes. I'm not going to set my mind on the things of the flesh. I'm going to yield my life to the Spirit. I'm going to be in denial. That's what Jesus said. He said, unless you deny yourself, if you seek to save yourself, yield to the flesh, you're going to lose yourself. But if you'll deny yourself, the flesh, you'll find yourself in me. And so many times that inflection point is simply a thankful heart. And finally, this is the scripture that I think of as it relates to the process that we go through. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Quite a passage. Again, starts with that anxious thought and ends with a place of setting your mind on those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely. But you'll notice sandwiched in there, we do all this supplicating with thanksgiving. We pray with thanksgiving. And one of the things that I love about this passage is it forces me to have to think about something to be thankful for. Because when you're in that anxious place, it's hard to think of anything. Even though you might technically know some things, but it forces you to have to go there. Say, thank you, Lord, for my life. Thank you for saving me. You know, or in the case of Jesus, what did he do? Thank you for these 2 fish and 5 loaves. Thank you for what I do have. That thankfulness, that thankful heart, that thankful spirit, there's just something about that. And I'll tell you what, when I've done that, when I'm just kind of going through things and, you know, if you, whatever that situation is, whatever you're going for, if you're going through for wisdom, you know, I just don't know what to do here. But Lord, you said that you give your wisdom to all who ask you. So Lord, I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you that you're going to give me that wisdom. If you're going to receive mercy and grace, Lord, I thank you that you forgive me. Thank you that you cleanse me from all sin, that you cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Having that thankful heart, just that thankful, appreciative heart, there's just something about it. Because let me just put it this way too. When we get off, and our heart and our spirit isn't right with God, it affects our identity. You're kind of jaded. It's like, I love you and I'm serving you and I'm but. But when there's a thankful heart, it's like, I like that. I like that me when I've got a thankful heart. I like that version of me, you could say, I don't know. It's like, when I'm a thankful heart, it's like, I'm in a good place. I don't even know everything that's going to happen next, but I got a thankful heart toward God. And there's a confidence that I have because I know that I'm centered on him. And I know that whatever happens, I'm going to be grateful and thankful. It's a place of surrender. It's a place of submission. And so I'm anxious. I'm praying, but I'm thanking God. And I'm just grateful, Lord. It's renew a right spirit within me that happens when you're thankful again. You know, and that's where the peace, it passes your understanding. I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't understand. But it's like my heart and my mind, we're okay. There's a gratitude. There's just an appreciation for the goodness of God. I know that he's with me. Something about a thankful heart is evidence. When I know my heart is thankful toward God, There's such a powerful internal evidence that the enemy does not have the upper hand on me. He does not have control. There's a thankfulness that just is like, yeah, it is well with my soul. Even though I don't know what's going to happen next, there's a peace passing my understanding. And sometimes, you know, we're talking about counting your many blessings. You can count the many blessings of those spiritual truths like Mary, like those in him realities. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I've got the Holy Spirit in me. I have the gift of righteousness. I'll never be alone again. These are things that are just because of the grace and the gift of God. And there's other things that you can, kind of blessings that you can count because of what has happened, natural things. I mean, I can think back in my life when I should have been killed in a car accident. I wasn't, though. I was supernaturally delivered. I mean, I'm going, you know, down the road, and I'm passing a car, you know, a truck, an oncoming car is coming, and my car just slithers and twists, and I'm off on the side of the road, and that car passes by me. I'm just thinking of early days, you know, when I'm a teenager, and thinking I could have just been dead right there. Something supernaturally saved my life. It's a time when I almost put out my eye, just something supernaturally. There are things that I can count and remember where God has spared me. You know, they do that in the Psalms. Israel, they'd count, man, thank God for the Lord who split the Red Sea. His mercy endures forever. Who fed us with the quail, the manna. His mercy endures forever. Who delivered us. His mercy endures forever. There's a kind of thankfulness there too, where we're intentional about remembering the good things that God has done in our heart. Say, thank you, God. Your mercy endures forever. You haven't brought me this far to fall and fail. You've brought me, and you're going to see me through. He who has begun that good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And there's just a thankfulness that we bring ourselves back to and say, thank you, Lord. Just it is such a beautiful, sweet, simple will of God thing that we can all do. And there's something about getting in that place, and it's like, okay, now I'm hearing from God again. But first things first, I'm letting my request be made known with thanksgiving. So a thankful heart. I just wanted to look at a few aspects of that this morning. There's a humility that we have where we got to come down. Sometimes it's those too good to be true promises. I mean, think about that. Zechariah said, yeah, can't happen. Mary said, let it be unto me according to your word. And sometimes in the middle of all of our stuff, we got to go, oh yeah, I'm a new creation. Oh yeah, I have the Holy Spirit. I have the Spirit of God living in me, through whom God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think. Wow, I'm going to go there. And I'm going to say, he who is mighty has done a mighty thing in me. I'm going to rejoice and be glad. I'm going to let my heart go there. I'm going to believe what he promised me. So many times when we're unthankful, we just take inventory of all the bad stuff that's happened and are mad because about that thing. We have to stop and take inventory also of the good things that God has done in us and choose to believe those things again and let our heart be stirred up and rejoice in those things. Say, yes, all these things are still true. Praise God, this life's a vapor. There are the old expression, you can't take it with you. These are things you can and will take with you that will outlive this body. The gift of eternal life. A God who loves you. Man, these are things that we have to intentionally stir ourselves up and remember the good things that he's done for us too. A thankful heart, it creates a humble heart where we rejoice in God. We give him the glory and the praise for every good thing that happens to us. And then a joyful heart. In the middle of things that are going on, man, we remember the goodness of God. We worship him and give him thanks and just let him inhabit our praises in a way that gets our spirit right with him. Amen. Praise God. Well, Father, we thank you this morning for just the truth of your word, for just a simple reminder, Lord, that no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're dealing with, that we can have a thankful heart. That we can be like that leper, Lord, that you cleansed those 10 lepers and just one came back to say thank you. Lord, that's us this morning. We come back and we don't forget the good things that you've done in our heart. We don't forget the healings. We don't forget those things. We come back this morning and we say thank you. Thank you that we're born again. Thank you that we're saved. Thank you that we don't have a sense of doom deep down in the middle of our spirit, but we have a sense of hope. We have a blessed hope. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the joy of our salvation, for the joy that is set before us, for the hope that we have in you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you've delivered us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son, and that we are now going to be with you forever and ever. Go ahead and make this a simple declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you You have done a mighty work in me. You've caused me to be new, a new creation. I believe it. I make my boast in you. It's nothing I've done. I've simply received it. Thank you for making me new. Thank you for giving me your Holy Spirit. I will never be alone again. You are with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, be encouraged this morning. I love, this is just a verse out of a song that came out probably 20, 25 years ago. It just says, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up, turned me around, how he set my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Amen. Praise God. Thank God. You know, that's just something, that's the will of God for all of us. No matter what, it is a weapon of your warfare, that thanksgiving, to be able to, at any time, be able to stop and do that next. It'll center you on Jesus, get you in those green pastures and those still waters. Amen. Praise God.